I'll go ahead and read our scripture, which is Mark 10, verses 35 through 45, if you want to join there with me. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it will not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Morning. Can you remember the last time someone came to you and said, "Hey, I need to ask you a favor," and you were like, you knew before they said anything after that, that you didn't want to do whatever it was they were going to ask you to do. Jesus knew what James and John were going to ask him when they came to him and said, "Teacher, can you do us a favor? Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." Jesus had just gotten done telling the 12 what was about to happen to him, that he would be jailed and beaten and condemned and executed as a criminal, and that after 3 days he would rise again. But the brothers Zebedee either weren't paying attention, or they were suffering from a very strong sense of denial. Because the very next thing, right after Jesus says all this, they approach Jesus and ask for plum positions in the new revolutionary administration. Basically, they ask him, "Jesus, when you're king of Israel, will you appoint the two of us to your top lieutenants?" Jesus says to them, "You do not know what you are asking." And they absolutely don't. They think the path that Jesus is about to walk is one of human kingdom. Human authority elevates the ruler above the subjects. Human empires establish a hierarchy of dominance. The more powerful you are, the richer you are, and the more people you control. But Jesus tells the 12, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it's not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So the kingdom of God changes the story. Jesus inverts the pyramid. Those who are at the top are the people who have lost everything, those who are poor. The princes of this empire are those who can't even control their own lives, much less the lives of others. I want to pause there just for a second, because I think that we as Christians, even though we may intellectually know this, we don't tend to look up to the people who can't control their own lives. We don't tend to look up to the people who are destitute or mentally ill or emotionally lost, people who are at the bottom of the heap and likely to stay there. But that's who Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who weep. This is the kingdom where Jesus will come to reign, not because he's conquered his enemies with a sword, but rather by opening the channels of self-emptying love, which swallows up the power of death and sin and hell. The disciples can't see it yet, but they too are on this path of self-abandonment. You do not know what you are asking. Jesus says something ominous to the disciples. He says, "You'll drink my cup and you'll be baptized in my baptism. Don't worry about that." And maybe in that moment for the disciples, those were encouraging words. But for us as readers, it's disturbing because we know what Jesus's cup and baptism are. We know the way he is going. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So Jesus promises the disciples his cup and baptism. One thing Jesus can't do, though, is promise a seat at his right or his left in his kingdom. The brothers Zebedee were asking Jesus to allow them to sit in positions of prominence when Jesus comes into his glory. But what they still can't wrap their heads around is that Jesus' glory will be darkness. His crown will be one of thorns. His throne will be the cross. And those who are going to sit at his right and his left in his glory will be common criminals, bandits, insurrectionists. They'll die alongside him, not because they deserve some special distinction, but precisely because they're the lowest of the low. You do not know what you are asking. It makes me wonder whether I know what I'm asking. Do I really have a grip on what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Am I prepared to join those who are last, forgotten, powerless? No, for real, actually lost and forgotten and powerless, the people who aren't going to stage any kind of revolution, they're not going to win. Am I able to drink the cup and be baptized by Jesus' baptism? For me, it's encouraging to realize that the 12 were in no way prepared for the path of crucified love that Jesus was about to demonstrate for them. On their own, they weren't able to drink the cup. But through the power of the resurrection, through Jesus's presence among them, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were clothed with power from on high. The disciples received power that allowed them to become powerless, selfless, fearless, bold. Like someone with nothing to lose. They became like Jesus, pouring out their lives for others. This story reminds me that I can't hope to make myself like Jesus. I don't know what I'm asking. Yet I have hope that, like the first disciples, Jesus will guide me, transform me, and make me like him in this world. Our faith is that the Holy Spirit will fill us with power and conviction, with a joy that we could never muster on our own. The good news of the kingdom is that we don't know what we are asking, but God knows us down to the marrow. We can't imagine what it means to drink the cup, to follow Jesus all the way to the end. But we don't have to. It's not a matter of our own strength. Jesus has promised us, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. He's promised to walk with us. He's showing us the way. Through all the challenge and bewilderment, he will give us joy as we walk with him. Even as the kingdom of God is nothing like we expected.